Hi, everybody. It's Gustavo, the host of the Enabled Disabled podcast. I am a middle-aged Latin American male. I have dark brown hair combed to the middle, and I am wearing a black polo shirt today. And I am super excited to have Brianna Powy on the show today. Brianna is the operations manager for the Wheel With Me Foundation and the Wheel With Me Fitness, which we're going to get into. They are doing some amazing work helping wheelchair users get fitter, more nutritious, and also helping people who have spinal cord injuries reclaim their independence, give them life skills to get them back into the workforce and get them, you know, feeling empowered to go out there and conquer the world and do whatever it is they want to do with their lives. So Brianna, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm so happy you're here. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me. I just wanted to say that I am wearing my black zip-up sweater. I have my pink hair pulled up in a ponytail. And in the back of me, I have my little makeup mirror on one side. And on the other side, you'll see my coat rack kind of hanging in my bedroom here. I'm just slowly getting things put up in my new bedroom here after getting settled with moving. So
awesome. Yeah, you just moved to North Carolina, right?
Yes, that is correct. I just at the beginning of June went from Wisconsin to North Carolina, and it's been great.
Fantastic. So I would like to get started here. We're not going to super focus on this, but I think it's important for people to get some context into a little bit of your background. Can you tell us a little bit about your disability origin story?
Absolutely. Yeah. So in 2011, I made a poor choice to be drinking and driving, and I was driving a little bit too fast, lost control of my car, crashed, and ended up with a spinal cord injury. So I'm paralyzed from about the belly button down. I broke my T10 vertebrae. And so ever since then, I've just been really relearning how to live my life as a wheelchair user. So it's been almost 11 years, and it took me a little while to kind of get used to everything and adjust. Once I did a little bit of adjusting, I was able to take something really tragic and kind of turn it into my purpose. And that's kind of where it came from, to help others.
Excellent. Where can you tell us just a little bit about, you know, that adjustment process as to what were some of the things that helped you kind of better understand what you wanted to do and who you wanted to be and make those adaptations? What were some of the important steps that happened that really helped you through that?
Well, for me personally, I had a really good support system. I did not know a lot of wheelchair users up until this last year, till 2021. So I really leaned hard on my able-bodied friends and the friends that I had before my accident. And I got very blessed that they were willing to kind of push me out of my shell, take me to things, because, you know, when you have a life-changing event like that, you kind of start focusing on the negatives. Like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Like, I was convinced, like, I can't go camping anymore. I can't hike anymore. And so I got very lucky that my friends, my core people, they're like, no, that's not true. We're going to help you get there. And they pushed me out of my comfort zone, and they made those things possible for me. And so once I was able to be like, yeah, I can go on cross-country road trips, I can do all these things, I wanted to be that support system for someone else. Because like I mentioned, I had my accident in a small town. I did not connect with the disability community until very late after my injury. And I wanted to find people like me who didn't have those connections. And I wanted to be that support. I wanted to remind people that just because something has changed in your life, that doesn't mean it's over with, you know. And that was my initial outlook. And I wanted to help other people change their outlooks the way that my friends changed mine. So initially I started volunteering my time at music festival events, giving my time back to that. And I really loved working with people and helping people, which led to me going back to school, going to college, I studied in human services, social work, and criminal justice with the intention of just trying to find a community to help grow and make them better, connect people to resources that they need.
That's awesome, and really, it's always nice to hear that you're, it, like me in my life, I didn't have a lot of friends growing up who had a disability, but I had a core group that at different stages of life always helped support me and, you know, get me out of my comfort zone and do the things that I wanted to do. So I think that's really nice that you shared that and had that similar experience, because it shows that there are people out there who are non-disabled who still can have that outlook, and you don't change to them just because, you know, something different happened to you or something life-changing happened to you. You're still Brianna. You're still my friend. We're still going to hang out and do the things that we always did together. We're going to find a way.
Absolutely. And that's what really meant a lot to me, is that they saw my potential before I did. Like, they knew what I was capable of before I even did. And that meant the world to me, because 10 years later, here I am moving away from home, pushing my independence. I got rid of my transfer board. I'm looking at a smaller wheelchair. So I'm doing all these things that I'm like, I'm just now, I'm feeling comfortable doing. But 10 years ago, they're like, we were ready for you. Like, 10, they knew it was coming. So it's really nice to have people who not only support me, but also kind of support my own time frame too. Like, they didn't push me to the point where I was very uncomfortable and backslid and was like, oh no, I'm done. You know, they let me kind of figure it out on my own pace, which was also really, really important to me.
That is important. But, and speaking of that, when I think when people see the potential in you and they nurture that potential, it's really, like you said, when you're ready, it becomes that much more empowering, and you're ready to reach out and do the same thing for other people, which is, I mean, that's fantastic. So how did you, I know you went back to college, you studied social services, criminal justice. What brought you into like the Wheel With Me Foundation space? Can you tell us about that journey and how that started?
Yeah. So like with COVID, and as everyone kind of dealt with, there was a lot of changes, a lot of stress, a lot of depression. Everyone's cooped up at home. And I'm involved in a few spinal cord injury support groups on Facebook. And so in one of them, I had seen an announcement for an empowerment week. So Wheel With Me Foundation was hosting in one of their first empowerment weeks, where they had speakers every night of the week, free for wheelchair users, where they were just trying to connect people in the community with different skills and resources and information. And so I was like, free wheelchair resources, heck yes, I'm in. And so I signed up for the entire week, and it was literally life-changing. I didn't know anyone in the community before that. And then I was just opened up to all of these really amazing people who are doing really great things, and which kind of motivated me, a little fire under my butt. And I was like, okay, if these people can do this, my possibilities are endless. And so I continuously attended their empowerment weeks as a guest. So I attended three of them, because they do them quarterly. So they do four a year. So I attended the first three last year, kept getting more involved with different speakers and different groups and stuff within the disability community, and got more involved with Jessie and her nutrition group. And that's when she kind of reached out to me, got to know me a little more. And we kind of realized that both of our missions and purposes align. Like, my whole goal of going back to school was to help others in the disability community. And that's the Wheel With Me Foundation's main focus. Our main goal with the foundation is to help all wheelchair users reach a new level of independence and like create longevity in their life. And like, so once we realized that our missions were so similar, she's like, well, do you want to work with us? And I was like, is that a question? Of course. And that was that. From that day, I've been just, how can I help? What can I do? And she gives me a very safe space to kind of be creative and just run with my things. I have ideas. I just kind of put them into motion, and they just work out really well. So that's kind of how I got involved. And I just love helping people. And this was a really good this is a really good group and nonprofit to kind of thrive myself in. We just, it fits so well with what I wanted to do.
That's an awesome story. And Jesse, for people who don't know, is also a wheelchair user, correct?
Yes, correct.
So it's really, really nice to see people with a disability starting foundations, starting companies, starting organizations, and helping hire other people and give them this platform and this means to, you know, expand their career. It's always nice to see when we don't always have to, it's not a judgment call, but it's just nice to see the community empowering each other.
Well, and that's with both our fitness and our foundation, one of our core values is collaboration. We don't want to compete against anyone. We just want to help as many people as we can. And we want to work with as many other organizations, individuals, brands. Like we just want to help the world be a better place. And so that's a big part of us, is that we want to collaborate with as many things and people as we possibly can. The more the merrier, right?
Absolutely. And so besides the, can you talk us through a little bit more about what Wheel With Me Foundation is working on today? Like I know the mission is to, the big goal that you're working towards is to build some housing where you can help, you know, bring in people who have kind of, they've gotten out of rehab and they're ready to go semi-independent, and then give them the tools to take them to the next level. That's the big mission goal, which will be awesome when you reach it. But what are you doing right now to kind of take that next step and push that forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, because that's a big goal. So that's going to take us a lot of support, collaboration, energy. So that's probably within like our 5-year plan is the transitional apartment complex that we really want to work on. But until then, right now we're really putting a lot of focus on the empowerment week. So we still do 4 empowerment events a year. So we put a lot of energy into that, which we try to find new speakers or kind of touch base with old speakers, see if they have any new information that they want to share. We have one speaker who comes every single event. She does confidence coaching, and every single event she does something different. So we work on that. We also like to do a lot of meetups. So we try, until we can get a bigger platform, we just kind of meet up with where we're at. We have a lot of local meetups here in Charlotte. Jesse and I just went on a road trip recently. And so we, on the road trip, we had a meetup in Philly because it was on our way. So what we do is we just host little meetups for wheelchair users, and we just try to get as many people in that area to gather, get to know each other, make new friends, connect resources. So that's another really good thing that we do. And then online, we try to push and share a lot of resources. Like I said, we collaborate with a lot of people. I know you guys have had Julie Sawchuk on here, so we share a lot of her accessible bathroom information online. Whenever we have good resources about products or tips or tools or good accessibility travel, we share that on our social media. So until we can accomplish our bigger goals, we really try to fill in those smaller gaps until then. When people reach out to us in a certain area, like I just had someone on social media reach out from Portland, Oregon, and they're just looking for friends in that area. So what I'll do is I'll put a post in our group and just be like, hey, if there's anyone in this area, here's a new friend. You guys can try to get together and just try to connect people with what they need to keep pushing forward and being independent and social and living a full life.
Fantastic. And you're mostly the platform that you're using right now is Facebook, or are you using other are you emailing each other? Like how are you meeting up and getting together consistently with everybody?
So one of our biggest platforms is actually Instagram. So we do post a lot on Instagram. All of the resource videos and tips and tools that will be all found on our Instagram page. We do share things in the events and stuff on Facebook as well. But those usually, it's usually the platforms that we stick to. We also do have an email list. So if you've come to past meetups or you're in our, in some of our support groups, you'll have your email for that. And so we kind of send out emails once in a while as well. We really try to focus on Instagram because we really like to engage with our audience and the people that we meet. And that's a really good way to comment and message and really find new people.
Awesome. I'll talk to you offline about it, but I think it would be beneficial to also, if you haven't anyways yet, but there are some rehab centers around the country that do have resources and can list you as a resource for people for their local communities, which I think could be really helpful in spreading the word as well.
I love that. Yeah, we'll definitely have to chat more because I know we have a couple local ones, but if we can get a couple national ones, that would be even better.
Yeah, I'll introduce you to one. But I want to talk about the Wheel With Me Fitness because I think this is really interesting. I'm not an expert in the fitness space, but I haven't seen anything like this before. And I think it has the ability to change a lot of lives for the better. So what inspired Wheel With Me Fitness? Tell us about it. What is it? And what inspired it? What is it? How's it helping people?
Yeah. So for me and my personal fitness journey is, again, when COVID hit, I was locked at home a lot, put on a lot more weight than I should have. And I was already overweight as a wheelchair user in general, because, you know, wheelchair users are not as active as able-bodied individuals. So I kind of had that working against me, and I just put on so much weight that I just didn't love myself anymore. And I was starting to try to tiptoe back in the dating pool. And I was like, well, how can anyone else find me attractive if I don't find myself attractive? So this brings us kind of loops us back into the empowerment weeks where one of the presenters was doing fitness and they offered some fitness training. So I was like, well, if I can handle doing a week of this on my own, then I can afford to launch it in a program. And that really helped me for quite a while. And then that program shut down. It wasn't anything really official. They didn't have an app. It was just a small little group. And her passion had changed. So she went a different way. And there was this huge hole here for a handful of us wheelchair women who enjoyed working out. So that's what I was looking for more. And that's when I started talking to Jessie. And Jessie has had her Wheel With Me Fitness Facebook group since 2017. She's had a bigger passion for fitness longer than I have. And she's actually who kind of progressed it after the one group closed down. Jessie kind of took me under her wing and was able to build on my fitness that I had already been working on. So me and Jessie, we love having our group workouts on Fridays with our fitness group online. You know, it's just free. It kind of started out as that. What really came down to is that we didn't see any fitness apps or training programs that represented us out there. You know, all of the adapted workouts were really geared for elderly individuals, and that's totally fine, but we wanted something a little more. And that's where Jessie's passion was. Jessie really wanted us to find a way to make this happen. And she connected us to the right people. And we got really lucky that we found someone who believed in us enough to make an app for this. So now we have the very first fitness app for wheelchair users that's created by wheelchair users. And that was also very important. We didn't want to take able-bodied workouts and have to keep adapting them. We wanted to give people something that was made specifically for them and for a wide variety of wheelchair users. We want to make sure that if you have dexterity issues, that we can find something that works for you. Limited hand control or like different levels of trunk control. We wanted to show different types of people doing different types of exercises. So that's kind of where we're headed with this. And it's just really exciting to be able to be the very first of its kind. We researched, we looked, we tried to find something, and we didn't. And we just got lucky that we were able to bring this to the community.
Absolutely. And I know Jesse has a background in adaptive sports, and she was actually on the Paralympic developmental curling team, right? Is she still working with the Paralympic team?
Not anymore, but yes, she was on the Paralympic curling team. She did some competitive water skiing. I actually learned that this weekend when we hosted an adaptive summer camp through the foundation. Yeah, so she's done competitive water skiing before. She does adaptive CrossFit competitions still, and a lot of really cool other activities. And I think I know for sure that she has trainings, and she's a certified trainer. She has nutrition training, which is really great. And that was really important for us as well, as to make sure that we had, you know, the qualifications to be able to share this information with everyone else.
Yeah, because I think that's something, again, that most people don't think of. I would imagine if you went to a nutritionist, even if they were really good, that they probably haven't had the experience in working with somebody who uses a wheelchair, right? So they just may not, they probably just don't, they don't know what they don't know. And so they can give you some kind of general guidelines, and we can kind of count calories and see what happens, but they're not really gonna know what's going to work well for your body. You need to find somebody who's had that experience, who's gone through that training and has kind of tested it out for themselves, right?
Exactly. And that's also something very important to her, like in the nutrition coaching. Like if she has a client who's interested in a certain type of diet, like such as keto, she makes sure that she tries it for herself so she knows how it reacts with her body. Now, we all know that everyone's disabled bodies are different and they're going to react to different things. But she is adamant to make sure that she tests everything before she can try to consult and give advice. Like that's very important to us, to make sure we do our research, do our background checks and things like that before we share that information. Like there is like a disclaimer on the app saying like, you know, I'm not a professional trainer. I'm just sharing with you like what we know and like what's worked for us and things like that. So like we stay inside our bounds, and we just take our knowledge and experiences and try to use that the best we can to educate others.
Very cool. And in terms of the exercises, how are those, is it the same thing? Like they were developed kind of through trial and error? Like this is what works for certain people, this is what works for other people, because you had there was enough of a group of you where you tried it out and, yeah, is that the idea?
Yeah, kind of. So it was, like I kind of mentioned before, we host weekly workouts in our Facebook group. So after months of Friday workouts, we had a lot of different people coming in and out, asking for different types of workouts, asking for different types of adaptations. Sometimes they'd want to join from bed, like, oh, we're in bed right now, can I still join? I'm like, yeah, we'll find a way to make it work from where you're at. I even had one of our members join and do a fitness workout when she was in the car. I was like, we'll make it work. You don't need your dumbbells. Just, you know, do some cardio with your arms. So it was pretty much just our experiences, like I said, with our workout groups there. And we just kind of started making a bank. We just made a list of what really worked. We wanted to make different categories to kind of touch on different needs and different styles. Cause we know some people want a little bit of a lighter workout, and some people really want to work on like building that strength and muscle. So we did take that kind of into consideration too, to make sure that we had options for different levels of injuries, different abilities, and also different levels in your fitness journey. Like we have things for a little bit more advanced fitness users, and then we have the perfect stuff for people who are just getting started.
Okay, awesome. So what is it? Where are you in your fitness journey? Like where are you? Like, do you enjoy playing any sports, or like where, you know, what do you like to do?
So even like both in the wheelchair and out of the wheelchair, I've never really been a sports person myself. Been a big dancer. big dancer. So where I'm at, I love cardio workouts. I do like adaptive Zumba and like dance workouts, things like that. I do love adaptive dance classes. I take dance classes through the Rolettes, which is a lot of fun. But then knowing that I want to keep building my independence, I also have been working on my strength training. So my new roommate is Jessie. So I moved in with Jessie, and she's been coaching me on different movements that are going to strengthen my shoulders and my back and my core to where I can transfer without the board and get on and off the toilet and do do those uneven transfers that aren't completely level, that are a little bit harder. So I have been kind of switching it up, but I will always lean back to my dance soul.
Very cool. Have you tried swimming?
I actually just went swimming for the first time since being paralyzed, and it was liberating. We just hosted an adaptive camp this weekend with the foundation up in Maine with the Adaptive Outdoor Education Center. And so me, Jesse, and our campers, we all got to try adaptive skiing. They brought a bunch of adaptive toys. Like there was it's like those things that people balance on and they just kind of move without you walking. They built one of those for wheelchairs, like a Segway. Is that what those little things are called?
I know what you're talking about. I think that's correct.
Yeah. Little scooters that you could attach to mountain bikes, a lot of really cool stuff. So going in the skiing part of it, I was in the lake and literally the first time I've been submerged in water, it was a very cool moment to have. I soaked it up. They're like, "Do you ready for your next round?" I'm like, "Can I just float for a minute? I haven't floated in a while." So it was, swimming is great. So I definitely plan on trying to get that at least like once a month, go swimming and just float around. I think that would be great.
Yeah. Or even, you know, even learn, you know, maybe I'm sure there's some swimming coaches that have worked with some Paralympic athletes who can help, you know, teach you how to modify the different swimming techniques to swim. So for me, I wear a prosthetic over my right leg and I have a brace on my left leg. And as good as they are technologically, they still restrict my movement and they can get really tiring. So for me, the water is exactly what you said. It's liberating. I can move my body however it moves without restriction. And so I just love. About a year and a half ago, I've always loved swimming, but I re-engaged with it about a year and a half ago. And I absolutely love just going in the pool, swimming my laps, just, you know, it's like it's a getaway and it's a great physical workout as well. But I feel totally free in the water where I don't feel that way anywhere else.
No. And I had heard from a lot of people that was going to be the situation. They're like, "You're going to love it. Like, why have you waited so long?" And I didn't have a good answer. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm just scared, or I don't think I'm going to enjoy it. But yeah, getting in the water, I can't wait to go back. I can't wait to get into even a bathtub. Like once I can get that transfer down, I'll be taking baths once a week.
Awesome. Awesome. I think it's interesting too with the app. So you're also recommending like supplements, you're recommending, you know, your favorite equipment that you use. So it's like you've got the resources built in again for things that have worked for people. Is the app like a subscription service? Is it free? How does that work for people who want to use it?
So the main parts of the app is subscription based. It's a small monthly fee for unlimited access to everything. You can download the app and kind of just, there is a few free workouts just for people to kind of check out until then. But we really push people to invest in the subscription. We keep it very affordable, knowing that a lot of the subscribers are on a fixed income with their disability restraints and everything. So we keep it pretty affordable. And there's a lot, like I mentioned before, we have different categories. So if you want to work on strength training with dumbbells, we have that. We have a resistance band section, a section that you can do from bed, workouts from bed. 10 minutes or less. So if you're just kind of crunched on time, we have just a little something for that. We have a mobility section. So that's, you know, your functional mobility to keep your muscles loose and limber throughout the day. And we're actually going to be adding in meditation and motivational content. So you'll hear my lovely voice on there recording some nice meditations, and then Jesse's going to do motivational messages so that they can add that to the app. Because we really, like with the resources and everything, we really want to give a full rounded service or, you know, environment, community, I guess. We want to make sure that you're not only taking care of your body, but you're taking care of your mind and your soul. We want to make sure that every part of your life is aligned of where it's supposed to be. That's why we share the supplements that work really well for us, that are good quality and worth the investment, and the adaptive products that help us stay fit every day. In that resource tab, there is a link for our private Facebook group. So we always try to push people, like if you download the app, please join the Facebook group, because that's where we have our weekly team meetings, our workouts. We do a book club every month. We really try to get to know the people who are using our app. It's not just like, oh, you subscribe and that's that. Like, we want to get to know you. We want to know what your life is like, what's working, what's not working. We love feedback. We love to hear what you want added, what we could do differently. And so we really try to engage with our group as much as possible.
That's impressive to hear. Like, it's not just a number that you're looking for. You're building a real community, mm-hmm. with, you know, that's dedicated to helping people. And it's also a lot of people, period, right? Like, I have friends that they don't work out, they should work out, and they're like, well, I just need a workout buddy, and they don't have a workout buddy, or they don't go to find that person to help them to keep each other motivated. It's really important to have that community where you are working out together, you're helping to encourage each other and keep each other accountable, because it's not easy to continue or even to start doing that. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for somebody? Let's say they're out of rehab, they're really not sure, you know, what they can do or what they can't do yet, and they're still trying to figure themselves out. What advice do you have for that person about some of the next steps that they could take? Why should they be thinking about fitness? How do they take that next step?
I think that's a great question. I think the main thing that I would, like the main piece of advice I would give to a newly injured individual would be to just stay really positive and get as involved as you can. One of my biggest regrets is that it took me 10 years to find and become a part of the disability community and really learn what was out there and learn what my options were. And, you know, I left the rehab in the hospital with the transfer board, using a commode chair to do my bell program and stuff. And I thought that was it. I did not take the time to meet other people and like listen to other options and hear other experiences from someone who's actually lived through it. I think there is a lot of positives and benefits from, you know, the healthcare system and going to PT, but they able-bodied professionals can only give so much advice when they haven't lived through it, you know, and they're like, oh, the transfer board is going to be good enough for you. Well, it is, but can I do more? Like, and that's 10 years. I thought that was it. That's all I needed until I saw other people just hopping and doing little transfers without it. And I was like, I want to do that. And so my advice would be to get involved, try to meet people, connect with other wheelchair users, just learn, like ask questions. And most of the time other people in the community are really, really open into sharing and giving advice. Like when people even ask me about my bowel program, no problem diving into it and like sharing what works for me, what doesn't work for me. You know, it may be a really personal conversation, but I don't mind sharing that, knowing it's going to really benefit that person. So don't be scared to ask the uncomfortable bathroom questions or transfer questions. Don't feel silly about where you are in your recovery, because that's where you're meant to be. As hard as I am on myself, that it took me 10 years to get where I am, that was my journey, and it was meant to happen the way it was. And then my other piece of advice is definitely, you don't have to be as like a crazy adaptive athlete, right? You don't have to go to CrossFit events, but I would really suggest individuals to be mindful of how active that they are. The first 5 or 6 years of my injury, I didn't even try to do 30 minutes of movement a day. I wasn't watching what I was eating. I just like, oh, you got one life, live it. And it was fun for a while, but then I really saw my body changing, and I saw how hard it was getting for me to move around, how my transfers were more difficult. I could barely lift myself into like an SUV because I wasn't taking care of myself. And now that I'm paying a little bit more attention and being more mindful about not only my nutrition, but my exercising, I've been doing transfers that I never could have imagined. I've bopped up into giant trucks that I would have needed two humans before to help get me into. And it makes me feel very proud of myself, but it also makes me want to show other people like, hey, you can do that too. You know, like at the camp this weekend, we have an attendee who was just a couple years, you know, into her injury. She's still using her transfer board, and she's just like me. She's like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. She's very timid and like hesitant. And her being able to see people like me and Jesse over the weekend, she said it changed her life. She's like, I did things I would have never done. I transferred in ways I would have never transferred. And just simply meeting someone like me and Jesse, she's going to go home and be an entirely new human, an entirely new woman. And I can't wait to see the growth that she's going to put on in the next year. So just take a little bit of fitness seriously. It doesn't have to be anything super intense. Whether it's just a little bit of cardio, get a couple resistance bands. Like I said, even stuff you can do in bed. There's plenty of options out there, and just find what works for you. Like I said, I'm a big dancer. If you just want to dance in your kitchen for an hour, just do it intentionally. Just move that body around. That's what's really going to be key to keeping the longevity of your life, but also being more independent. The more independent you are, like, the more freeing it is.
I think that's fantastic advice. And what I want to highlight, a couple of things there that are really important is, when you look at an athlete, a non-disabled athlete or a Paralympic athlete, right? A lot of people say, well, I can't do that, so why bother trying? And the way I look at those people is to say, they have honed those skills for decades. And if they can do that, I don't know if I can do that or not. I may never be able to, but at least it opens up like a spark of curiosity and inspiration to say, like, what if I tried for a while and had fun with it? What would happen?
Exactly.
And you have to enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy it. Exactly. Enjoy it. And you will be surprised at what you can do if you stick to it for a while. Like the transfer thing, that's a phenomenal story. And that's great that somebody saw you do that and said, like, there's no way I could do that. But that 10 years ago, you would have said the same thing.
The exact same thing.
Yeah, that's really fantastic. I think that's a brilliant, brilliant attitude and perspective. The other thing that I think would be really helpful and interesting too is if Wheel With Me can maybe start a program down the road where you can train PTs and occupational therapists and even trainers on how to help, you know, clients with a wider range of abilities and give them the tools to better understand and empathize and create programs for more clients. I think that could be huge.
And that's absolutely part of our vision. So before you kind of highlighted on our transitional apartment complex, right? So that is our huge main focus for the foundation. But along with that, that's our main piece. We have branches off of that. So when we have that that apartment building, we also want to make sure that we have adaptive PTs, social workers, people involved with advocacy and politics. We want to make sure that we have community members for like local resources. So on our vision board in the other room, we have a big whiteboard with the housing unit in the middle, right? And then we have branches coming off of it with all of these other subcategories. And it's very important to us that the people we bring in, they're all wheelchair users. We want to have wheelchair PTs, wheelchair doctors, wheelchair social workers, wheelchair advocates. Because just like you said, being able to have me show her at camp this weekend, it's like, no, like I was there where you were. Let's do this together because I know you can do it because I've been there. You know, that's vital for us. That's a huge part of our goal, is to make sure that we're showing wheelchair users that they can be more independent, but also supporting wheelchair users in their dreams of being a PT. Like, you can be a PT in a wheelchair. You can be a doctor in a wheelchair. I am a certified social worker in a wheelchair. Like, I have a bachelor's degree in human services from my wheelchair. And like, I'm very proud of that. And we just want to show others in the community that if you have a dream, like, you can absolutely accomplish that, whatever that may be. Advocacy, fitness, being a mom, anything, you know, that's what we want to support you in. And like, when it comes down to it, fitness is going to be part of that catalyst that gets you there. If you want to be a good business owner or a good mom or just successful in any kind of way, you need to take care of your body. And so that's kind of what we tell our group members a lot, is we support any kind of goal that you have. So let's figure out how we can make this program push you even further. How can our fitness and support boost your business or hit those fitness goals, you know, make your family better. So like it all comes back down to taking care of you.
Yep. Yeah. Fitness means different things for different people, but fitness, generally speaking, it's going to give you more energy. It's going to give you more resilience. It's going to build more confidence inside of you. It's going to help you in your journey to doing the things that are important to you, whatever that might be. And even if you can do, if you can enjoy whatever it is, you know, water sliding, waterboarding or dancing for one more hour in the week, if that matters to you, that's huge. Like, if you can train up to that, go for it. That's a big deal.
Absolutely. And that's what we try to do when we offer our group workouts on Fridays. I usually host a team meeting on Wednesday evenings. And so on Wednesday evenings, I always tell our group, hey, if you have any ideas or if there's anything you want to do, if you're itching to pick up the dumbbells, or if you really just want to try a new resistance workout, or we've even dabbled in like PCP pipe workouts or like dishcloth workouts, just to try different resistance and different things. Whenever they have an idea, like, we try to support that. Like, whenever they have a certain need or adaptation, we try to support that to show them that fitness can be adapted in any way. Like you said, like, it's going to be different for every single person. We just want to show you that it's just possible. Like you said, if you want to dance in the kitchen for 45 minutes, or if you want to work on your stretching and do some yoga, It all counts. It's all very important to the longevity and our independence moving forward.
Yep. And or play tennis or play basketball or whatever. Yeah, whatever it is. I know that when I was in my 20s, I was in Chicago and there was a tennis club there. It was a really cool place. And one of the coaches that basically the tennis pro that was helping me out told me one day, he said, you know what? Once a month, I come together with some really great wheelchair tennis players. And I also bring some high school athletes who are really good tennis players. And we get together and we play tennis for 3-4 hours. Would you like to come join us? And I was like, first time I had heard of it, I said, absolutely. And that was so cool. And we ended up, like, big crowds would gather and like watch us all play. And it was really interesting because I got to see not only test my ability against them right? And I have different disability, but also to see, like, there were some wheelchair players who were super strong. Like, if they fell when they were playing tennis, they got up in, like, way faster than I could or than most people could. So right. It was just, it was a really cool experience, but it also exposed young high school kids to people with disabilities and showing them that we were capable of playing with them and competing with them and having a good time. So things like that are super cool that sports can do that. I don't think there's a lot of other, there's not a lot of other things that can bring people together quite in that way.
No, I absolutely agree. And I know we had a conversation on it over our road trip, that, which is why we're so upset that, like, the Paralympics aren't broadcasted on national, like, on the mainstream television. In Canada, it is. It was on their primetime television shows. And I think that is really important. So I need to, we were just kind of chatting on how can we highlight something like that, put it on mainstream television, because that's the exposure that we need. We need to show the entire world, not just our community in general, but the entire society, that we are much more capable of the box that society tries to put disabled individuals in. You know, they think that we live very limited and sheltered lives, but I honestly think, in a sense, we live a more full life than most able-bodied individuals, because we appreciate things more. We see things in a different light. We don't take the small things for granted. And that's what we need to highlight more. We need to highlight people just out there living their best disabled lives, you know?
Absolutely. There's I agree with you. The more we can tell better stories, and the more we can put ourselves out there, the more people are going to start to wake up and support and amplify and see the same things that we already do. I agree with that. So my last question for you before we figure out how everybody can contact and get in touch is, what have I missed in this conversation that you feel is really important to talk about?
That's a really good question. We've talked about a lot of really good stuff, but I think one thing I definitely want to go back and highlight is just getting out there. Like I said, I personally feel like I wasted a lot of time just kind of focusing on trying to be an able-bodied person. That's, as I was kind of reflecting on this before meeting with you today, I was trying to think why I didn't reach out to the disabled community for as long as I did. And I think it was because I was just really stuck trying to fit into the old Brie and, like, what I used to do and the things that I thought what I was supposed to be doing. You know, I thought I was supposed to be the only wheelchair girl in the group. And that's not the case. We thrive when we're around people like us. So I think the biggest message, whether it's reaching out to the foundation or reaching out to fitness, find any kind of group, whether that be us or something else, like a local one, an online one. I think it's just really important to just try to get involved and ask questions. It doesn't have to be anything major. We have group members who come into our meetings, they keep their cameras off, they don't say anything, and that's perfect. The fact that they show up is amazing. Like, we're so proud of them just for taking the time out of their day to sit in and listen and give themselves that time. You know, that's them investing in themselves. So I just want to make sure that whoever's listening, like, know that you're worthy of investing in yourself, whether that be investing in your fitness, investing in your mindset, investing in giving yourself some time off. Like, you and I are just sharing how we work too much. And that's something that you and I could probably benefit from, is just taking day off. And that's okay. You know, and sometimes we're stuck in our own ways and in our own habits, and it's hard to break that. So just be willing to step out of your comfort zone a little bit, metaphorically speaking, obviously, and just trying to connect with people like you, whether it's, if you're not a wheelchair user, find someone who you look up to or who you relate to, and just reach out to them. That's how I met Jessie, is I saw her online. I was really motivated and inspired by who she was and what she was doing. Next thing you know, she's inviting me to live with her, and now we're roommates going on 2-week road trips together, and it changed my life. And it all started with accepting that that empowerment invitation. Like that one little moment is life changing. So give yourself a chance. Get involved with fitness or something. Just put yourself out there, because you're gonna thank yourself later when you find the right tribe or community. It's life changing.
I beautifully said. I think that's fantastic advice for people. And they should probably play that 2-minute clip on repeat, you know, as their mantra, you know, every day. Because no, it's really true. If you give yourself a chance, if you choose yourself, mm-hmm. that's when things start to happen. And you may not see it at first, but that's the way. You know, that's the only way. You have to choose yourself.
It is. And once last year, January 2021, that was the day that I chose myself. And I haven't looked back since. My entire life has been different. And I've talked to my different like confidence coaches and my different personal development coaches. And they even say, they're like, Bree, you've made leaps and bounds because you went all in. Like, I went all in on myself. I embraced the fear. I embraced the change. I embraced the uncomfortableness. And I just went for it. And I've been having just a payoff after payoff and moment after moment. And the more people that I touch, the more I know I'm on the right path.
Beautifully said. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. How can people connect with you and Jesse and the foundation?
So the best way to connect with us is through Instagram or our fitness app. So you can go into your Google Play Store or your Apple Store, and you can look up Wheel With Me Fitness. Right in the app, there is a link to our Facebook group and the resource page that you mentioned earlier. So that is a really great way to get connected right to us. Otherwise, we do have both social on Instagram and Facebook for both Wheel With Me Foundation and Wheel With Me Fitness. So those are another really great way to get a hold of us. If you reach out to us on the foundation, we can give you resources about independence, accessibility tools, events going on in your area. And like you said, we are going to hopefully try to get more information about rehabs and support groups in different areas. We do share information about the local support group here in Charlotte. So if anyone out there has any other resources they'd like to share with us, please send us a message, because like we said, collaboration is key. And the more we can connect with other people and share this information, the better everyone's future can get.
Fantastic. And the app is available on Android and Apple devices?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. I look forward to having you back on again and to future collaborations. Really appreciate the time.
Oh, no, yeah. Thank you for having me. This has been a beautiful experience. And yeah, I'll come back anytime that you're willing to listen to me again.
Thank you.